Going to be in Proverbs tonight, and we'll be in Proverbs 1. We'll read the first few verses and then kind of dig into a lot of the book. Pretty simple lesson tonight, but I was a little, to be honest with you, a little surprised how important this was in Proverbs, and I think this is something that most of you live pretty well. I would hope, but it's a good reminder, and might be a few of us who don't live it so well, that it can remind us to do it, or to stay doing it if we are doing it. Proverbs 1, verse 1. It says, "A proverb of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Purpose to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, what knowledge and discretion." Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about a couple things here. Father, thank you for the chance to teach. Thank you for Thursday night. Thank you for our midweek. Thank you for the word. And thank you for wisdom we can study. And I pray tonight that you'd give us attentive minds and hearts, and you'd help us to listen. Not just physically hear what's said, but listen with our souls, listen with our spirits. And Lord, even doing that without you speaking, Lord, without your word empowered by your spirit, it won't make any difference. We need help, Father. And I pray tonight that we'd have ears to hear in the spirit and you'd help us. Please give me your help. Please speak to us now. Just empower me and help me to speak the truth of the Bible with the spirit's power. And mercy, we pray you'd give that in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're talking about the wisdom of justice and honesty. The wisdom of justice and honesty. And how there's a great wisdom in that. A couple things, we're supposed to know wisdom and instruction, verse 2, of course, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Now we're talking about receiving the instruction. Wisdom gives instruction. Proverbs spends a lot of time teaching you to receive that instruction. Remember, if it's just the instruction and you're not receiving it, it doesn't do any good. Your heart must be prepared to receive it. And so to receive the wisdom of the instruction of wisdom, and also of justice and judgment and equity. A couple words I want to talk about in this verse and focus on tonight is the word justice. We've talked about wisdom a lot, but there's justice in verse 3 and judgment and equity. Justice and equity are similar words, and I want to talk about both of them, but we'll focus on them combined and kind of, if you get about justice and equity and honesty, you're talking not the same, but similar things. The word equity in the Bible, the word equity means evenness. Equality is kind of comes from the word straightness, rectitude. It means making things even, making things balanced, making things fair, making things right. That's equity. The word justice is the Hebrew word sadia. It means the right thing. The right thing. It's also, the word equity is used to define it. The root word for justice, it means to make right in a moral sense. To make right in a moral sense. We're supposed to have justice. And it surprised me a little bit just how many times the word, I wrote it down somewhere, how many times the word justice, 29 times just or justice are used in the Bible. That is a lot, a whole bunch of times. Just or justice is used in Proverbs alone. And that's how important these words are, and that's how important it is. So we see it's the right thing. It's even things out. It's making things right. It's balancing things out. Let me just show you kind of an illustration of this in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, in verse 1. It says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Let's find my balance here. I put it in here. Here we have our what it's talking about there. I've heard preachers don't know the Bible very well say a false balance, you're going to be a balanced person. That's not what that verse is talking about. And things are measured in Bible times by balancing and by weight. For example, you'd put gold in one side, and then you put whatever you want to weigh on the other side, and or you'd put a certain amount of this, or you'd say, we will give you this much coin for whatever weighs in here. and things were done by weight. There wasn't barcodes. Matter of fact, us old people, remember there weren't barcodes, and the lady at the cash register tried to do this all the time and type in a million different numbers and stuff on the thing. And that's a balance is what you deal with. And so if you want to, you want to know how much you get for this over here, you put it over here, and then you say, okay, we got to balance this out, and we've got to, in order to buy that, we've got to buy, put this over here, and look at that, I don't have money. And then you have to get someone to balance it out. That doesn't work. So then you put this over here, and eventually you keep on going until you get it balanced out. And so you have a balance that tells the truth. Now, a crooked person would have a rigged balance. And what would happen is they would have this balance that's not fair, that doesn't work quite right. And so if it was gold dust and they'd give you a certain amount of cash for a certain amount of gold dust, it would be their stuff they put on this side. The thing was balanced out, so it would always tilt a little lighter to one side. And so they'd put their stuff in, and it looked like it was balanced, but it was a false balance because it was unfair, because it leaned their way, because they would put less than actually said. And so it'd be a false balance, and they would trick you with that, and you would not be able to get your fair deal when you put your stuff on your side. And so the Bible says a false balance. That's what dishonest people would do. They would weigh gold, they would weigh whatever, a spice, cinnamon, or whatever, and you would have a weight for it. And so, by the way, that's, you ever notice the Statue of Liberty? Doesn't the Statue of Liberty hold one of these things? What holds the
Statue of Justice.
Statue of Justice, where is that at?
There
we go. A lot of courthouses have this. And it's just a picture of, we're going to be even and balanced, and it's not going to be unfair. It's not going to be to this side. It's not going to be to this side. It's not going to be favoritism. Because the scale is a symbol, an equal scale is a symbol of rightness. Well, it says a false balance, one that's weighted one way, one that's not fair, one that's unequal, one that you can cheat somebody with. Let's say they have, you know, a certain amount. They say, they always keep over here. They say this is worth $10 in gold, but actually it's not worth $10 in gold. And you put your stuff on here, you don't get it. What if every time you went to Fred Meyer or Winco or whatever grocery store that you went to, that little metal thing that they put the fruit on top of and weighs it, they type in the code and it's $1.29 a pound for the fruit, or $2.10 for fruit. What if that thing automatically put on an extra 3/4 of a pound? You don't know it doesn't. Sometimes I think it does when I see how much you pay for stuff. You don't know it doesn't. Most people don't look at their receipts and stuff like that. And just think, if that was found out that they were doing that, they were ripping everybody off by their scale was always wrong. You know what a big deal that'd be to people? Because it would be an unjust, a ripping off, a false balance. And God says a false balance is an abomination to God. Abomination is as strong a word as you can get for how bad something is. Okay? God talks about sin, he talks about evil, he talks about God. But when something's the most disgusting, worst thing, the word literally means disgusting. That's the word means in the original language. He says a false balance that's not fair and is cheating somebody is an abomination to God. God does not like cheating, dishonesty, and not being fair. Look at Proverbs 16 and verse 11. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. God likes fairness. God likes honesty. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 22. Say not thou, I'll recompense evil, but wait in the Lord, and he shall save thee. Diverse weights, which are different. Diverse weights. are an abomination to the Lord, and a false balance is not good. In other words, you say this weighs 1 ounce, but it doesn't weigh 1 ounce, and you put it over there, and you pay them according to that. If you're paying them for gold, and you put something that's supposed to be 1 ounce over here, and actually it's 0.75 of an ounce, a diverse weight, a fake weight, and then you pay them for 0.75 when they had 1 ounce, God says that's an abomination. It's an abomination. And verse 23, and a false balance is not good. Proverbs 21 and verse 2, even the way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. It's very important. It's an abomination, first of all, to God, but secondly, it's an abomination to good people. Proverbs 29. In verse 27, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in his way is an abomination to the wicked. I remember reading Little House on the Prairie, the big winter book. It's a pretty interesting book about the massive winter they had where everybody almost starved to death. And the man at the store, basically, he was a guy in town at the store, and he had some food and stuff left over. People were actually literally starving to death. And he got some stuff in, and he massively raised the prices. And everybody in town got together. They told him, if you do this, yes, we'll buy your stuff now, but when everything's settled, we're running you out of town, and you'll not do business here in town anymore. And so he decided not to do that. And because people had a sense of honesty and equity, okay, we understand it costs you more to get it here. We understand you, the supply and demand is a little higher, but if you want to rip us off, we're not going to do business with you later on. And because it's just not being honest, just, fair, equity, equality, doing what's right, doing what's honest and fair, and not cheating. A couple things I just want to say about this. First of all, just actions outweigh other factors. Just actions outweigh other factors. I read earlier where it said, you know what, let God deal with the injustice of what somebody might do to you. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Sin not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait in the Lord, and he shall save thee. Diverse ways and abomination to the Lord. Two wrongs don't make a right. Wait, I remember hearing that as a kid a million times. You know, I never hear that anymore. Two wrongs don't make a right. And when somebody does evil to you, you doing evil back is not Christian. And there's a level where we're supposed to be just. And you know what? We should not try to cheat people out of things, even though we might not be treated fairly. Our justice system, first of all, underneath that, we go in Proverbs 17. Let me get Proverbs 17. Our justice system has an amazing philosophy. I'm not saying our justice system is perfect, but there's a great philosophy in our justice system that is very, very practical and helpful, and a well-designed system. It's called innocent until proven guilty. Innocent until proven guilty. Now, the good thing about that, it's really a good system if they practice that and do well in it. Why? Because what it does, here's the thing of it, it will let some guilty people get off. Okay? They will not be able to prove some people are guilty because the standard is it's got to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So there will be some people out there who are guilty who will get off. But they set the standard high because the bigger injustice in the guilty getting off is the innocent being condemned unjustly. Like, I never worry about in our system that I'm just going to be convicted for a crime that I never did and be proven guilty. The standard's pretty high, and it happens, but our system's set up so it's very difficult and very rare that it would happen. You got to have 12 of your peers agree, and you got to have all the evidence weighed, and you have a lawyer, and they got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not just, I think he's guilty. Why? Because sometimes you might be in the wrong place and look like the criminal. And that can happen. And so watch Proverbs 17 talk about this, because it's the just thing to do is never punish the innocent. Proverbs 17 and verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Verse 26. Also to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. And so there's been times in history where people just got so mad they decided to get revenge on anybody who, the French Revolution. There were a lot of innocent people because they had money. There were some evil people in France, but everybody who had money was slaughtered their entire family because there was a few who had money who were rich, and they just made mock trials. No matter what they said, they killed them all. And that is not good because it's not just, it's not fair, it's not right, it's not honest. And it says never condemn. And one of the things in dealing with children that I want to do better at is I would rather, if I think my kid's guilty but don't know, not punish them than punish them on suspicion. And And because it's really a bad thing when you don't do that. Just actions outweigh their factors. In other words, go overboard not to persecute and prosecute and hurt honest and just people. Go overboard in order to not have a fight with your brother, even if it seems like you're not being treated fair. You're going to go overboard. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're going to try to be so fair. And you're going to let God deal with the rest. And there's the key there. Because you be an honest and just person at times, because you go above and beyond to be fair, sometimes you'll be treated wrong and look like you're losing out because you try to do the right thing. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 6, 6. But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? He says, you know, God will take care of this. He says, if a brother wants to sue you, you know what? You let them. You go ahead and just lose out before you go to court with and send them before an unsaved person and fight it out. God says, suffer yourself to be ripped off. Why? God will bring all the justice right. And you're trying to go overboard to be honest and fair and do those things. But you know what? God will take care of all injustices. If your brother wants your coat, give him a cloak also. God takes care of all those things. New Testament verses on this honesty thing and being fair and doing what's honest and just. And I'll bring it a little more practical in a minute. But let me take it to Romans. And there's just a lot of verses on it, but I wanted to show you some New Testament verses. We're talking about being honest and just and fair and not ever cheating anybody, going beyond, above and beyond to make sure that you have not done something that's not straight and even and the right type of thing. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, or rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So you're supposed to go the extra mile. God will take care of balancing everything out. But on the other side, you never cheat anybody else out. You always have a fair thing. And there's a lot of the verses, 2 Corinthians 8:21, 13, 17. In 2 Peter 2:12, it says, in front of the unsaved, walk honestly before them. Walk honestly before them. And it's very important that the unsaved always thinks you're honest. Sometimes when you do business, an unsaved person might think you weren't honest. They might be wrong, but you might just go ahead and go above and beyond just to make them, just so they don't have anything to say against you, just so they'll get saved. Second thing I want to say about this is just people are blessed people. And this is where I want you to get involved in it. Let's go back to Proverbs. We're just equal, fair, straight, making things right, people. Proverbs chapter 3. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you a verse. The second point is just simply, and it's most of the sermon, and we'll just go through it. But I want you to answer this. Any of you can answer it. We're going to read a verse and find out what happens to a just person, a person who doesn't have false balances, a person who could take advantage and rip somebody off, but they don't. A person who could steal, but they don't. A person who could be dishonest, a person who could go out and sell it for too much, but they don't. Let's read what happens to this just person, a fair, even person who makes things right, person. And by the way, sometimes I've done something wrong. I treated somebody wrong, and I didn't do things right, and I had to go back and make it right. Sometimes I had to pay money back. Sometimes I had to go tell them sorry. Sometimes I had to, and the Bible's full of this, and you've got to get the justice and just man mindset. Even in tithing, you know the Bible says if you don't pay your tithe, you pay it back with interest. That's the Bible says. I at a certain point when I started tithing, I hadn't earned that much before I got saved. But at a certain point, I heard somebody teach on this that, you know what, the Bible says you're supposed to pay back God with interest. And I thought, and the person teaching that, he actually said I had to budget out to catch up on my tithe because I had about 10 years where I wasn't saved and I wasn't tithing. And that was always God's money. I stole it from God, so I had to pay it back. I had to make things just. And I thought, you know what? I need to make sure I've done that. I sat down to the math and figured out, you know, I've never tithed 10%, and so I didn't work that much, and I'm fine. But there's an honesty in the Bible where you're supposed to go make things right, make things equal. This is the right thing to do. Good businessmen do that, and good people do that. And watch how they are blessed. We're going to read the verse. You tell me how they're blessed. Verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. What happens to the just here? Anybody? Raise your hand. Esther. They're blessed? What specifically is blessed? Matthew? The habitation. You have a blessed home if you're a just person. Next one, Proverbs 4. And then again, this study, part of the study kind of interested me. It was kind of interesting. Verse 18. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into a perfect day. What is the just get here? Anybody? What's that? Blessed day. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Flashlight.
Flashlight.
They shine like a flashlight.
They shine. Okay. They shine more. Their way shines more and more. Their way shines more and more. So we see that their life gets better and better. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9. Got a lot of things here. So the path is shining on that. Their habitation is just. Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Somebody else. Somebody new. What happens to a just man? Anybody? Yes, Jennifer. They increase learning. Good. And because they're just. I remember a story about a man who came up and walked to the altar, and the pastor preached a message on justice in the Bible, and the man walked up, a very well dressed man, very dignified, and walked up, and the man says, "Can I help you?" And he says, "I want to be saved today." He says, "Awesome. What makes you want to be saved?" "I preach in justice." He says, "Well, Jesus died and paid a great price for my salvation. I figure it's the honest thing to do is to let that price be equal by me being saved. I'm an honest man. I've never cheated anybody. And I don't want to cheat Jesus out of dying for my sins. It's the right thing to do. So I'm going to be saved because Jesus already paid for my salvation. I want to make this right and just." And that's a good thing to have that kind of a just mindset. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 9. Should we got the right verse here? Proverbs chapter. Oh, you know, I'm still in Proverbs 10. Let me talk to you about Proverbs 10. And Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Anybody? Pretty easy one? Yes, sir? Okay, somebody else? Blessings are upon the head of the just, Proverbs 10 and 6, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. What do you think happens to the blessed? Boy, we are either your comprehension is very low tonight, or you are asleep. Matthew, blessings are upon the head of the just, and so very good. And verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. What does the just get here? Anybody? Dave?
Good memory.
Their memory is blessed. Their memory is blessed. Verse 31. The righteous shall, or the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but their forward tongue shall be cut off. This one's an easy one. Their mouth brings forth wisdom. Why? Because they increase learning, because they're a just person. So we see these things. I remember when I worked a full-time job starting the church, then I went to a part-time job, and then I was having a little bit of hard times as I came out of my job, having my needs met, so I started selling cars on the side. And pretty much I'd buy a car, I would usually get it repaired, and then I would sell it. And I had a good, cheap mechanic working for me. And so that's what I kind of did on the side, made money off it. And I got really where I knew the price of the cars very well. I almost always bought Tauruses because I knew Tauruses so well. And so I'd go buy a Taurus, and usually the transmissions are blown. So I'd get the new transmission, put it, and then we'd sell it. And I had me a Taurus and went to sell it. And the car, I bought it for a pretty good amount. I got a good deal on it, and it looked really good, and it was pretty clean. But I could tell the transmission wasn't in great shape; it wasn't slipping or causing any problems yet. But I thought I shouldn't sell for too much because of that. So I put the price of this car. I thought I should probably get about $2,700 for it, $2,800, $2,900. I'd like to get $2,900 out of taking $2,700, maybe $2,600. But I put it for $3,400. and $3,400. But it wasn't worth $3,400. But when you sell cars, nobody provides it for the real value, and they make a counter offer. So I go down. I remember I met the people at Emerald Downs, took the car for a drive, looked real good, and it was $3,400 or best offer. I think it was $3,400 their best offer. And we get into the drive, and they said, "We'll take it." I said, "Awesome." I said, "How much?" They said, $3,400. I was kind of surprised. They didn't make a counter offer. I didn't think the car was worth $3,400. I was planning on making a counter offer, and they would say $2,500. I'd say $2,700. They'd say, $3,000. I'd say, okay, $2,900. Okay, $2,950, $2,925, $2,926.50. And, we would get through it, and they'd buy it for that. They said, take it for $3,400. I didn't think it was worth $3,400. I thought I was ripping them off. You know, I did the dumbest thing in the world. I said, "How about $2,900?" And they looked at me, it was a couple, they looked at me and said, "Okay." I said, "The car is not worth $3,400. $2,900 is fair." Now, $2,900, I would have been happy. I would have probably taken $2,700. But I said, "How about $2,900?" I went home. Remember me coming home with this? Told you, honey, I am the worst salesman in the world. I just talked myself down $400. Yeah, what it was 34 and I sold it for, what did I say, 29. Yeah, 500. Good night. I lost more than I thought. And I sold it. You know why? You say you lost that money. I don't think I did. Because I think if I would have been dishonest, I think it would have come back on me. And I think because I was honest, it came back. I don't know how it came back on me, but it's God just blesses just people. And God just does. And you just be honest and you say, "Lord, I could have taken advantage of this person. And I could have done this thing, but you know what, Lord, I try to be honest. I don't mind you getting a good deal. You go to the car dealership and you can talk that guy down from $500 from $3,400 to $3,000. And you can go and you try to, I'm joking. You can go and you can talk them down. Do it. Talk them down a bunch of money. Try to get the best deal you can. I understand that. That's fine. But don't be unjust with people. Don't rip people off. Be just and be fair. And there's a lot of things that we could read in here about this, and a lot of verses. Proverbs chapter, let's see, which verses we want to do. Proverbs chapter 12. And verse 13, "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lip, but the just shall come out of trouble." What happens to the just here? Somebody out loud? Come out of trouble. Very good. The just comes out of trouble. Boy, some people need that. And I want to testify to that. In general, people who are doing the right thing, they might look like they're getting into trouble. They might look like something bad's happening to them. But usually they come out of it if they're an honest, just person. And I just want to say this. This is one of the funny things about life. And it's not funny if it's happening to you, but it's funny to me because everything's funny to me. But one of the funny things about life is dishonest people sometimes get away with what they're dishonest in. And then they get ripped off or caught when they really weren't being dishonest. And they are so furious. They're so mad at that point. You know what? It's just, God just says, you don't get away with anything. It's coming back on you. And you know what? They were just, you know, they didn't get caught for their drugs. They didn't get caught because, you know, they borrowed their friend's car and their friend's car was stolen or something like that. And they didn't get caught for the one thing. But you know what? It still happened because a just person is delivered from trouble. And people, the way of a transgressor is just hard, and bad things just happen. And it's very true. They're delivered from trouble. That's a great verse. Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 21. Lying lips are an abomination, 21. "There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief." No evil happens to the just. In other words, the same thing. They get blessed, and that's taken care of. Proverbs chapter 13. And verse 22, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Boy, that's quite a verse there. Somebody who's immoral, we've experienced this, our own personal family, we've experienced this in the last year, where some people look like they're ripping off and getting away with it, and it came back to them. And it does. And by the way, we got blessed. in a supernatural way in the middle of somebody doing that. And the finances of a sinner are laid up for the just. Proverbs chapter 20, let's see if we're awake, see if we can find something here, something for you to help, and something we can see what happens to them. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. What happens with a just person here? Timmy. His children are blessed. You want your children to be blessed just by default? You be an honest person. By the way, if your mom and dad dealt honestly, it made an impression on you. You know if your dad was crooked, and you know if your dad was honest. Now, he might have been in between, but those two things stand out greatly to you. When someone is just, they are honest, it made an impression on you. Remember, your dad would always be an honest and just person. You remember that. And if your dad wasn't, or if you didn't have your dad there, if your mom wasn't, you notice they're crooked. And by the way, you probably struggle with being honest. You probably struggle with being honest. It's very important. Your children are blessed by your honesty and by your just actions, and they're blessed after you. Proverbs 24. How many of you had your dad, or if you didn't have your dad at home, your mom, they walked spotlessly with integrity. I mean, they were an honest person that you could look at and say, my dad would never do that. My dad is totally honest. How many had that? And that's good. You're blessed to have that. Your dad would not rip somebody off. Your mom would not rip somebody off. I'm not even saying they're a Christian. There is people who are just people. There are unsaved people who are just say, I do an honest day's work for honest day's pay. I'm not going to be off. Christians though certainly should be the leaders in this. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. For a just man falls seven times and rises up again. But the wicked, when they fall into mischief. What happens to the just men here? They get back up. Alex, tell us what happens to them. Gets back up and they fall. That's a great thing. Look how many great things there are for the just. Look how many things there are for them. And let me give you, what does this include? And we're almost done. It's a short lesson tonight. What does this include? Let me just bring it back down to a real practical thing on earth. And let me bring it down to some just real things we deal with. First of all, being a just person works 8 hours for 8 hours pay. Okay? That's a just person. They might even work 8 hours and 15 minutes. Now, totally understand you work at a place where there is no way you can work 8 hours in the 8 hours you're punched in. I've had jobs where I had to be there. They had to have me there. I couldn't leave when certain things happened. I had to be there. And there was just dead time, and now a lot of times I go off and find another job to do, and I think a Christian can make a good example if they do that. But there are just times when there's nothing to do at some places. Okay, then you're doing as best you can. But do you know how hard some people work to be lazy? Do you know how hard some people work to not do the full day? And you know the worst thing is? When you're lazy, your day goes slower at work. It's so self-inflicted misery. You would think they would like their job better because they're being lazy and sitting around. All they're doing is watching the clock. And so that's an honest thing to do. If you're ripping your boss off, if you're being lazy, if you're not doing a good job, I understand, you know, you can't do any better than they give you the opportunity to do, but you're doing a good job. That's a just person. 8 hours work, 8 hours pay. I'm going to be an honest person at least. And if you do more, God will recompense you because God's watching. Next, honest things, just things, paying taxes. Paying taxes. I should preach this on August 15th. Do you like taxes, Pastor Byram? No. I think our percentages are too high. I think they're not spending all the things. There are a lot of things the government spends money on. Listen, I'm Mr. Frugal. You think I like the way the government spends money? If I ran the federal government, we would be out of deficit in a year. And I would have a bunch of bureaucrats who hated my guts. Okay? But, you know what? Jesus said, render unto therefore Caesar the things of Caesar's. Do you think Jesus, like, Caesar and his government? They're going to crucify him. They're spending their money to buy idolatry and to kill all kinds of people around the world. It wasn't a good government. But the Bible says pay your taxes. That's just and that's honest, and Christians should do that. What else? Let me give you an example in life. This will, if you have memories of this happening to you, you'll get irritated real quick. A just thing to do is if you damage somebody else's stuff, you fix it. How many have had somebody borrow something of yours, destroy it, and never pay you for it? I borrowed your, I borrowed a blower from you and I broke it, didn't I? There we go. I should forget this sermon. You go outside for a minute. And I remember I took his blower and I went vroom, vroom, and the string came out in my hand. Robbie! And so it got fixed though. Praise the Lord. And I offered to pay for it. I think I offered to pay for it, didn't I? You just retied it. That's what he did. And it is dishonest when you've done somebody wrong, you broke their stuff. Now, you might go to them and say, let me give you money for that, and they may refuse it. They have a right to do that. You did what was just. You tried to. And don't go, well, I'm going to repay you. I might have to sell two of my kids. No. I like these people who say, you know, I'm really praying that God will give me $50 right now. I mean, it's not like that. You go to them and you say, you know what? I messed up. I broke your thing. I didn't take good care of it. I borrowed your car. I crashed it. I'll make sure this whole thing gets settled. You will not lose any money. I am an honest person. And that's what a just person does. And a just person does those type of things. Another example. Someone spends money because of a plan that you had with them, and you don't come through on your side. You owe them the money they spent. Make sense? Let's say I say, Robbie, I'm going to pay you $10,000. I need you to go to Wenatchee, and I need you to get me a Bobcat over there. Go rent a Bobcat, rent a hotel room, stay there. I'll get there, and then we'll go do a job, and then I'll get $10,000. He goes to Wenatchee. He rents a Bobcat for $500. He rents a hotel room. He stays in the Ritz and spends $500 a night. You know how Robbie is. And he does that, and all of a sudden, Robbie's in $3,000, and I call him and say, Robbie, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm not going to make it. Never mind. I owe him $50. No, I owe him whatever I figured. You know, I'm not good at math. I owe him a bunch of money. Why? Because he, according to my words, spent a bunch of money. I owe him. Good. We're all honest people. You're all with me? Okay, good. If you go out and you charge money, you owe the money. If you go out and borrow money, you owe the money. If I go tell a guy who's not very nice about me borrow money from him and he charged me 40%, I owe him. I told him that. When you owe a debt, you owe a debt. That's what a just person does. They make things right. Now, I have called people, and I'll tell you this, this is the truth. I've had things, medical bills and other things, where I called them and I said, listen, they didn't call me, I called them. I said, listen, I said, I'm broke. I said, I have 14 kids, I lied to them. I have 14 kids and I haven't eaten for a month. No, I didn't do that. I called them, I said, listen, I've got this situation. I have no money right now, but I'm telling you, I'm an honest person, I'm going to pay you. And I said, how can I start with $15 a month? And I might have owed a lot of money. You know what they do? They say, you know what? I'm so shocked you called me. You know how often they say, you know what? If you can just get me together, you owe me $4,000. You know what? If you pay me $100 a month for 2 years, we'll just call it even. Because they don't expect to get paid. And nobody ever calls them. And you know what? If they agree to that and they say, you know what? That's fine with me. Then we're just because, okay, if they say, I don't want to do this, that's different. Then I'm ripping them off. But if they want to do that, that's fine. That's their choice. I'm not asking for that. I'm just telling them I'm going to pay you back. But you know, did you know biblically the story of the unjust steward? He goes and says, listen, how much you owe me? Just pay me this much. Did you know that how many of you have somebody owes you some money and if you got half of it, you'd be thrilled? Okay, that's just the way life is. And you know what? just call them. And you know what? It's even just to call somebody and say, you know what? I owe you $1,000. I'm an honest person now. I might not have paid you. I owe you that money. I don't have a penny right now. But I'm just telling you, I'm going to pay you. And you might have to wait till next tax return. But you be honest. And you do what's just. And you make things right and straight and even. And that's a good thing to do. And that's going to take you to Proverbs 6. And last thing I want to say, if you want to make things just keep your word. Be a person who keeps your word. Proverbs 6. Verse 1. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend. That means co-signing, basically. Let me recommend to you something very highly. Don't co-sign for anybody. Just don't. You will lose that friend, and you will pay their co-signment. Just don't do it. Just don't. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. I had people ask me more things. I had people ask me to bail them out of jail with my credit card. I've had people ask me to put my title at the bail bond company of my car. I've had more people ask me to do so many things and do this stuff. Listen, let them earn the credit if they want to buy a car. They buy a $10,000 car because they... But he's got a good job now. Good. Let him earn the $10,000 to buy the car. But don't go co-sign with him for the $10,000 car because you got good credit. You're nuts. People lose those jobs. There's a reason they don't have credit yet. Don't co-sign for somebody, and you'll be a lot better off. My son, but if you do, or if you enter into an agreement, if thou be a surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand of the stranger, whether it's your friend or a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. I want to say this biblically. Once you say it, it's done. Now what you got to do, as fast as you can, get yourself out of the mess you just made. That's what it says. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. It does not say you got tricked by an evil guy. You don't have to pay him. It says you just fast you can. Work a second job. Work at night. But just get yourself out of the mess. You said it. Your words mean something. They can release you, biblically. There's a couple rules in this. I want to say, just figure, if you're going to say it and you're going to agree to it, you're going to shake hands, whatever your agreement is, biblically, they didn't shake hands on a deal. Biblically, it went out of your mouth. In America, we shake hands, or now we sign a piece of paper. Shaking hands, we don't do that anymore, do we? So now we sign a piece of paper. Okay? Ralph would shake hands. Ralph's his friend who just passed away at 82 years old. 91, sorry, 91. I forgot. I just talked to somebody today about an 82-year-old who passed away. And 91, Ralph, he bought his house from a lady. They never signed a piece of paper. Never signed a piece of paper. She said, oh, Ralph, I know him. He's going to pay for it all. He paid it all off. She gave him the deed to the house. He trusted her. She trusted him. Does that sound crazy? and they did that. And he bought the house. And why? Because people's word used to be their bond. When you said it, you did it. And don't be, and I want to say this, if you're a nice person who agrees to everything, stop. Just stop. You can't help everybody do everything for everybody. Do not say anything unless you're going to do it. And you might have to say, you know what, sometimes you have to say, I'm not sure I can commit to that. I'd like to, but I'm not sure I can commit to that. It's okay. Because justice says when you said it, the straight line, the honest thing there, if the straightness, the evenness, the rectitude, the doing the right thing, the wisdom of justice brings God's blessing upon your life. And we all want to be just, honest people. Amen? We want God's blessing on us, and that happens because we're honest. And because we're not thieves and liars, I think most of you are pretty honest people and do that stuff. I want people to think of me like the lady who sold Ralph the house thought of Ralph. That's a big transaction. But that they said it, that's good enough for me. I want our word to be that strong because we're Christians. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word. Help us to be honest. Help us to be just. Help us to be fair. Lord, we don't know people are going to be fair to us. They weren't fair to Jesus. They weren't fair to the apostles. But Lord, you said you'd deal with the injustices, but we should do our part to make everything right. You said if we're going to bring you a gift, leave it at the altar and go make it right with your friend. Help us to be just and honest people. Help us to be righteous people. Help us be people who do the right thing. Help us be people who don't rip our boss off because we don't work when we're supposed to be working. How often, Lord, when it's gotten to the point now where the person who works extra hard is made fun of. It's kind of the day we live in, Lord. It's crazy. Help us be just. And we thank you for your word that teaches us how. In Jesus' name, amen.